1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app. The talk of Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The U.S. continues to call for a humanitarian pause in Israel's strikes on Gaza. At the Pentagon, Brigadier General Pat Ryder says only for humanitarian aid to get in and hostages to get out.
We do not support a ceasefire and that gives time for Hamas to regroup.
The House passed a $14 billion bill to aid Israel Thursday, but with no aid for Ukraine attached. It's expected to fail in the Senate. The Labor Department reports the U.S. added 150,000 jobs in October, fewer than expected, after September's report beat forecasts with more than 300,000 jobs added. Eric Trump will continue testifying today in the civil fraud suit against the Trump Organization, found to have artificially inflated property values in order to obtain better loan and tax terms. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. After threats to run him out of office, Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is now putting impeachment proceedings against Megan Wolf into motion. The state's top elections administrator has been the target of false claims that she helped rig the 2020 elections. Wisconsin Democrats say they have the momentum, but they're taking nothing for granted. They're launching a new statewide door-to-door effort in 115 communities starting this weekend. State Party Chair Ben Wickler.
What we saw in the Supreme Court race this spring was record turnout in a Supreme Court election. In state legislative special elections, we've dramatically overperformed what you'd expect from the gerrymandered district lines.
Wickler says Wisconsin votes will influence policy here as well as the White House and the U.S. Senate. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WGBW and WISS. Student leaders at the University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh say they're concerned about what they consider to be a lack of communication between school officials and the student body. Student President Ben Blazer and other student leaders tell Channel 11 the student body hasn't been included enough in the discussion. Administrators are navigating staff layoffs as part of UWO's plan to mitigate an $18 million budget deficit. The Menominee County Medical Examiner is taking a look at a human skull a hunter found in the Menominee Reservation Monday. The office confirms it appears to be that of a 5 to 10-year-old boy. Authorities are trying to get to the bottom of who it was and how they died. Law enforcement says it's an isolated incident and the public is not in danger. The FBI and other local law enforcement and public safety agencies are helping out. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Craig Counsell meets with the Mets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Manager Craig Counsell reportedly meeting with the New York Mets. Counsell and the Mets' new president, David Stearns, worked together for 7 years and got along together well. While Stearns was the GM of the Brewers, Counsell's contract with Milwaukee expired earlier this week. The Brewers have re-signed pitcher Colin Ray to a one-year deal worth $4.5 million guaranteed. The team has him under option through 2025. Former Packers defensive back Rasul Douglas, now in Buffalo. What was his reaction when GM Brian Gutekunst called to tell him he'd been traded to the Bills?
My initial reaction at first, because Goody called me at first, I thought it was like a joke. He just was like, we're trading you. And then, like, it was over. The conversation was over. I just hung up. And then, like, I'm sitting there, and then, like, Mark Murphy called me. And, like, he got a voice that's like, you know it's him. So I'm like, oh, nah, this ain't no joke. He was like, yeah, we're trading you to the Bills.
That's Buffalo Bills defensive back Rasul Douglas. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy.
Daytime highs approaching 49, southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows level off around 33. Tomorrow, highs around 46. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 42.
Mino and the Mayor.
Amy Herrick has an event coming up called Smart Girls Rock. I keep seeing the term STEM. What does that stand for?
First of all, the acronym STEM actually came around, I think it was first in 2001. The concept has always been around, but actually calling it STEM is relatively new.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
2001 was just yesterday.
Why don't you just relax, Jim?
It feels like it.
How about, Amy? How about more Amy, less you?
Okay.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From I-43 to I-41,
this is the Talk of Green Bay.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. I mean, Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams, and we are joined by Mr. Malik Atala, who is a restaurateur in Racine, and Mr. Atman Atta, who is the executive director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. Sandy, you had a question you wanted to ask.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've been talking about setting the table. What's the situation? I think you've done a good job of helping us get a little better view of it. It would take many shows and many hours to get a real sense of it, and I'm afraid we all need a much better sense of it. But we are where we are today. Everyone in the world talks about a two-state solution as being the path to go. Blinken says that's what we've got to get to. I keep repeating that because I don't know enough to say what else there might be. But what is the potential ultimate solution here? Because obviously the current situation is untenable. It's been going on for decades. It keeps festering like a terrible boil, and even worse than a boil in terms of when it explodes. What can we look to?
Well, let's talk about the two-state solution, because when there was an agreement that was made between the Israelis and the Palestinian Authority, the PLO and the Palestinian Authority recognized Israel, and there was supposed to be a two-state solution as part of the Oslo negotiations. And so the Palestinians said, look, we want the return of the West Bank and Gaza, and we also want East Jerusalem as our capital. And so they made a historic compromise. They said, give us the 22% of original Palestine as an independent Palestinian state, and we will resolve this conflict. That was what Oslo was based on.
So the 22% is essentially the territory that is now Gaza and the West Bank.
Correct. So what happened? Well, Israel continued to build illegal settlements in the West Bank, including in Jerusalem. They continued to take more and more land. They said, we are not going to return the Jordan Valley area. We're not going to do whatever. And then they wanted to put all kinds of restrictions on the Palestinians themselves. Well, why hasn't there been? Oslo is now decades old.
Remind us, when was Oslo? Was that in the 90s?
I can't remember the exact year, but it's now over 20 some years old. Why has there nothing been done during that time? The only thing that has happened is more land has been occupied from the Palestinians. More Palestinians particularly have been killed. Gaza has been put under a siege. And so there's no possibility that everyone is saying, even Israeli progressive Jews, others are saying the two-state solution is not possible. But then they'll also tell you the Jews in Israel are not going to accept a one state, because if you give Palestinians equal rights, like we have one person, one vote here in the United States, they say, then the Palestinians will become the majority. It's not going to be a Jewish state. So we don't want to have a one person, one vote. Well, you don't want a two-state solution. You don't have a one-person, one vote. You don't accept that either as Palestinians as being equal to you. So then what's the solution? Is it to continue to occupy? Is it that you want to expel and ethnically cleanse Palestinians? I mean, I'll give you, in Gaza, one of the reports that came out from the Israeli government, and you can also look at the Carnegie Endowment for International here in the United States, where Israel has a supposed plan that they want to evict those in Gaza and send them to the Sinai. So they want to do another ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. So what are the Palestinians supposed to do? If we try peaceful means like boycott, divestment, and sanctions, that's considered to be unacceptable. Will you protest? The Palestinians in Gaza, if you remember, I think it was in 2019, they called it the Great March of Return, an entirely peaceful protest where Palestinians in Gaza marched to the fence that the Hamas overran on October 7th. What did the Israelis do? The Israelis gunned down hundreds of innocent, unarmed Palestinians. So what's the message to the Palestinians? You will never be given your freedom. International law will never be followed because the United States is going to veto it. There's no peace in your future. There's no hope for you in your future. So then what do you expect the Palestinians to do?
So the Oslo Accords were in 1993. But right. But I have to, can you explain to the listening audience what it's like or what it was like in Gaza, you know, before? We know it's now it's leveled. They basically leveled Gaza. Yes. But what was it like? I mean, to live, Sandy, you at times you mentioned.
Well, my understanding is that the very large refugee communities, and that much of it, because many of the people who live in Gaza were not from Gaza, they were transported to Gaza or partitioned into Gaza, so that it is in many respects
not exactly
a large refugee community without the capacity to have industry or jobs, and so it's totally reliant on essentially what it is that the Israelis will allow to flow in and international money flowing to it to support the people. Is that a fair characterization?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You had one of the most densely populated places on the face of the earth. Okay. And again, they don't have like in Singapore high rise. I mean, it is the most densely populated area. People living on top of each other. More than 60%, more than 50% children. Okay, so half the population children. Poverty level was somewhere between 50 to 60% of the people living under poverty level. 97% of the water in Gaza is non-potable water. In other words, it's not drinkable water. It is a horrendous place to actually live. And yet the Palestinians were told, hey, you are going to have to remain there. Israel, from 2006, had a siege on Gaza. They controlled the borders by air, land, and sea. Even fishermen who went out onto the Mediterranean to fish, they would sometimes be shot at by Israeli gunboats. A Palestinian, because let's say the hospital didn't have good treatment, they had to get permission from the Israelis to actually leave. And many people die just because they don't have the facilities. This is not a manageable way to keep people imprisoned. I mean, it's worse than an open-air prison. It's worse than that in the way that people are humiliated, abused, subjugated. It's terrible.
So let's bring Eric on from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Well, first of all, thanks to you and Civic Media for hosting these necessary conversations, and welcome to your guests. I understand you're going to have some Jewish guests to discuss their side of things as well, so it's fair and balanced, unlike that place that calls themselves fair and balanced. But I hate to interrupt, but this is something that I distinctly remember as a child watching Palestinian kids, like on ABC News or something, throwing rocks at tanks, Israeli tanks, and wondering. It was like a cognitive dissonance at like 10 years old, like what's wrong with this picture kind of thing. because of that, I mean, not because of that, but based on, I've been paying attention to this for really now 40 something years. And it's been like kind of one, you know, human rights violation after another on the hands of the Israeli, you know, government and apartheid regime towards the Palestinian people. You know, the bulldozing of homes in the West Bank, and there's countless violations, obviously, and your guests are speaking to it. I spoke to my child, though, who goes to school in Wauwatosa, is in high school, and basically kind of gave my explanation of it and kind of both sides of it and everything. And he basically told me I completely reversed his view of the situation from what he had learned in school that day already, you know, after October 7th, you know. But I've always felt that it's, you know, it was Israel was created basically after the Allied powers refused to accept the Jewish refugees to put a quote-unquote white face in the Middle East, to keep an eye on the surrounding nations and all in the interest of oil. And to talk about the history, it's not old history either, because just in 2018, I believe the UN attempted to pass a resolution declaring Israel's apartheid regime a violation of international law. But current Republican, you know, presidential candidate Nikki Haley, who was our representative at the time, vetoed the resolution in our name. And also in that time, too, you know, Benedict Donald moved the Israeli capital from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, I believe as a favor to Sandy Adelson, if nothing else, which I'd like your guests to comment on, because I'm not really, hey, informed in just the impact of that.
Hey, Eric, thank you as always, man. Good stuff. You guys want to respond, Eric?
Well, I mean, I think what he's saying is, yes, again, it just goes to point out what he mentioned in the United Nations. I go back to the issue that the only way to conduct a civilized society and world is to have laws that are followed. And if you don't provide people with a legal remedy, they're going to resort to other ways of doing things. So if let's say someone robbed you in your house, okay, and nobody... You go to the police and the police say, hey, we're not going to do nothing. You go to agencies, they say, we're not going to do anything. You're going to eventually take the law into your own hands. And that's the problem.
I think you've hit on something directly. And I think U.S. society is running amok in a whole bunch of ways about its respect for laws and its realization that laws are the basis for society, and that a society that just picks and chooses which laws to follow is in the process of committing suicide in terms of societal suicide. So I think you make a very good point. It's much broader than this international law issue. It applies to lots of things, but we need to bring it back to our view of international things so that we can look at them objectively through clinical legal eyes and not just bias that we might be built into us.
But they're going to have to come up with, got to be a solution.
Well, the problem the worry I have is that when you describe the fact that maybe the only solution is a single state, and yet the single state is a dead end because the state that would have to absorb these people doesn't want to become disproportionately non-Jewish. And so now we've got to throw up our hands like there's no solution. Well, a no solution answer is the perpetuation of violence in the area. So I'm afraid what all people have to do is start thinking in the direction of answers.
But Sandy,
hang on. We've got to pay some bills, and we'll be back. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Lay back, enjoy the show.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Small businesses represent the lifeblood of every community. In Wisconsin, small businesses represent 99.4% of all businesses. Their importance to our economy, especially our rural livelihood, cannot be overstated. Entrepreneurs must be innovative and have a growth mindset in order to keep pace. Business owners and employees of small businesses can attend a free presentation by small business expert Fred Hochberg. Hochberg is former head of the Small Business Administration, the Export-Import Bank of the United States, and the Lillian Vernon Corporation. His presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, takes place on Wednesday, November 8th at the UW-Green Bay Marinette Campus. Hochberg will share ideas for how rural businesses can thrive in today's marketplace. Funding for the presentation comes from the Tommy G. Thompson Center for Public Leadership. For more information on Fred Hochberg's November 8th presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, and to register for this free event, visit thompsoncenter.wisc.edu. That's thompsoncenter.wisc.edu.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is here. And so a couple of great guests that I hope you're enjoying the conversation. And that's Otman Atta. He is the executive director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee, and Malik Otala, who is a restaurateur in Racine. Let's go to the phone lines. And Tom from L.A., good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, I just love it that civic media, it's definitely a place of people that really do seek out the truth. Eric is just a prime example of that. You know, we're trying to find solutions. We're trying to find ways that human beings can just get along. I honestly think that, you know, in this case, both sides, not the actual people, but both sides' leaders have, you know, the blood on their hands, just like George War Criminal Bush did with Iraq and Afghanistan. But there's got to be a solution. I mean, there's got to be. I know Benjamin Netanyahu is just a total jerk. He's just like George War Criminal Bush, and his wanting to get over his own personal issues. So he has no problem allowing things to happen, you know, that have happened. But I do think that Gaza is such a strip of land that you would think, because there's a lot of people that in Gaza that are Jewish as well. And these people do live side by side with each other, and they have family members. They've had people that have obviously procreated with people of the Palestinians and the Israelis, I'm sure. So to me, I just don't understand why it is that we can't come up with a solution of peace, not right now, currently, because honestly, even everyone coming on and talking about war, I'm sorry, war is ugly. You don't want to see babies die. You don't want to see all these different things happen. Don't have war in the first place. In this case, in this very, very case, October 7th, the Israelis were attacked on, just like we were attacked on, you know, 9/11. Now you have the other side, and then you got people who kill people's family members, so it becomes emotional. The biggest problem here is that the United States, people are trying to find a way to split up the Democratic Party, just like Scott Walker and his divide and conquer strategy. And we need to be very, very careful that we do not get into a situation where we divide and conquer even the Democratic Party, that we end up with our own authoritarian leader, because the first time was bad enough. And if he comes back, it's going to be, you know, hell like you've never seen.
Hey, Tom, we got you. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, Earl, and good morning to your guests. Excuse me, my voice is a little bit not where it should be. Really quickly, in the Wall Street Journal, I should just mention, and you can read this, and it was from November 1st, where you have a terrorist leader. They're basically, Hamas has got two messages going on right now. You got the one going on in the international community where it's pleading for a ceasefire on humanitarian grounds. Okay, that's fair. But when he went on, now his name is Ghazi Hamad. And when he went on the Lebanese station, he had a very different response. And basically he said, we're going to do this again and again and again. And they actually have a name for what October 7th is. It's called the Al-Aqab flood. This is just the first time. There'll be a second and a third time. And they flat out asked him, you know, how do we get this resolved? And he just, you know, as Israel, and he said, they have to be wiped out. The state of Israel has to be wiped out. And I also pointed out to you, Earl, and I sent you an article about the UN official, as you know, that just recently left. I think it was just this week, where he just basically stated, you know, that there should be a one state solution. And when he left, the UN official left this week. It's very clear as to where this is going to. And I've heard what your guest has said this morning, and he said that, you know, we're colonizers, we're occupiers and what have you. Israel is basically just saying, let us exist. You have all these other Arab nations surrounding Israel, and Israel's the problem. People talk about the West Bank. And if you look at the word Jew, the word Jew came from, it was called Judea. That was part of the West Bank. If you look at the actual kingdoms of Israel, the West Bank is like the actual foundation of Israel itself. And so I get very frustrated that has been kind of erased. And that was essentially done by the government of Jordan that actually called it the West Bank.
Well,
because it was not that way before.
Just because we have limited time, Dave. So when we get from current situation to solution, you talked about the one state solution from the UN official. Is that an abhorrent solution as far as you're concerned, having a one state solution? Is a two state? So and the reason it's abhorrent is that the numbers of non-Jews in the state of Israel would then become proportionately larger.
No, there wouldn't be a Jewish state, period.
Well, I know. I mean, so you're reflective of the notion that instead of the separation of church and state we have here in the United States, that in Israel it's important that the nation of Israel have its laws embedded in the fact that it's a Jewish state. I don't think lots of Americans realize what you're saying is true, that the laws of Israel as currently constituted make it, in fact, a religious state, not just a straight open democracy.
Well, it is a democracy, but it is a religious space. You got to factor in, there's 6 million Jews and change that live in the state of Israel currently.
Right.
We have that, which compromises about 53% of the world's Jewish population. The other 47% is basically between the United States and a little bit.
So David, as we've got to leave it there. Got to pay some bills. We'll be right back, and we'll give everybody an opportunity to respond on the other side. We'll be right back.
There you go.
Home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Civic Media News. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The president of the Universities of Wisconsin is urging administrators to lobby state lawmakers to act on pay raises for faculty and staff. Jay Rothman is also asking chancellors to ask for help from alumni networks and local civic and business leaders. A Republican-controlled committee of lawmakers is stalling UW pay hikes over an ongoing dispute over diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. Wisconsin could get $229 million from Washington to help pay to keep more than 319,000 children in daycare. It's part of an emergency request the Biden administration is making to Congress after pandemic daycare funding ran out at the end of September. The Wisconsin legislature rejected Governor Evers' special session on child care this fall. After that, Evers released $170 million in emergency funding. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news on WGBW and WISS. Two building projects in northeast Wisconsin left out of the state budget are now getting money. The National Railroad Museum is getting $7 million to expand to meet the growing need for museum offerings, accessibility, and immersive programming. The Door County Peninsula Players Theater is getting $330,000 to upgrade living facilities for the company that draws nearly 40,000 visitors every year. An innovative website aims to help firefighters in Howard save time and lives in an emergency. People in Howard can add information to the platform called Community Connect. That includes medical conditions and mobility needs. You can also let firefighters know about things like pets, keys, and lockbox codes. The database is secure, so any personal information you share on the website won't be stolen. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Craig Council meets with the Mets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports manager Craig Council. Reportedly meeting with the New York Mets, Council and the Mets' new president, David Stearns, worked together for 7 years and got along together well. While Stearns was the GM of the Brewers, Council's contract with Milwaukee expired earlier this week. The Brewers have re-signed pitcher Colin Ray to a one-year deal worth $4.5 million guaranteed. The team has him under option through 2025. Former Packers defensive back Rasul Douglas, now in Buffalo. What was his reaction when GM Brian Gutekunst called to tell him he'd been traded to the Bills?
My initial reaction at first, because Goody called me at first, I thought it was like a joke. He just was like, we're trading you. And then, like, it was over. The conversation was over. I just hung up. And then, like, I'm sitting there, and then, like, Mark Murphy called me. And, like, he got a voice that's like, you know it's him. So I'm like, oh, nah, this ain't no joke. He was like, yeah, we're trading you to the Bills.
That's Buffalo Bills defensive back Rasul Douglas. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is Civic Media. This is Civic Media.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 49. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows level off around 33. Tomorrow, highs around 46. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 42.
Under the helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
We got back of pride. We ain't going to drop three in a row.
You already dropped three in a row.
Not no more.
Not again, you mean.
See, here's the thing, Earl. If you play in a divisional foe, it's a different game.
Well, they played the Detroit Lions a divisional foe and got their heads handed to them.
But this is another one, the one we should beat.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger with Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
He went away and you hung around and bothered me every night. And when I wouldn't go out with you, you said things that weren't very nice.
Edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Again, it's Fridays. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and, you know, a really eye-opening and great discussion thus far from our guest, Otman Atta, who is the executive director of Islamic Society of Milwaukee, and Malik Otala, who is a restaurateur in Racine. Otman, do you want to respond to our last caller, Dave, some of the things he had to say?
Yeah, let me just tell you. I mean, the problem with this conflict is there have been a number of proposed solutions and nothing has been carried out. We talked about having a one state, and Sandy, you mentioned, why not have one state where everyone has, let's say, equality and whatever? And Israel's response is, no, we want to remain a Jewish state. The problem is Israel was built on land where there were already people there. There were millions of people who were made refugees. So what's the solution? The Palestinian Authority during Oslo said, let's do two states. Most of this Israeli governments have not allowed the two states to come into existence, and they continue to build settlements and occupy more land in the West Bank, particularly now when they've killed over 150 just in the last 2 weeks.
That's West Bank.
That's the West Bank. West Bank, right.
Yeah.
So what's, if there's no peaceful means for the Palestinians to be given a state and to be given freedom, free from a brutal Israeli occupation, a military occupation, if there's no way for them to be able to have a state where they express their own aspirations, you don't want them to do things by peaceful means, you don't allow them to do it through legal means. So what alternative are you giving them? What are the Palestinians to do? They've been living in this existence for 75 years. Imagine if there were a group of Jews who were under occupation illegally by others, Muslims, Christians, people of no religion, I don't care who occupied them. Would we allow it to fester for 75 years? And this is where the problem is. There is no solution that is actually being implemented on the ground. And unless the Palestinians are given freedom to have their own state, to be able to exercise their inalienable rights, there will never be peace.
So, Sandy, let me ask you, because the United States takes a leadership role when it comes to the United Nations and all other major issues, and the world looks to United States to lead in many of these areas, but we failed to lead in this area. And so part of the problem, I believe, is that the United States does not have the courage to do what it needs to do to affect the necessary change in what's happening in this situation.
Well, I just don't think that much like much of our foreign policy, the foreign policy with respect to the Israel situation doesn't get an open airing, okay? It doesn't get an open discussion. We end up getting told by our government essentially what our positions need to be, and our positions vis-a-vis Israel, being one of the early sponsor countries of creating Israel, we became pregnant with the concept of Israel, and we've had trouble, I think, figuring out how to separate ourselves from Israel to the point where we can actually dictate to Israel more of the policies right. that will be adopted rather than simply acquiescing to the policies that Israel itself decides to establish and we then decide we will back. And so, I think that we've lacked initiative in that area. We've been more of a, in some respects, the tail wags the dog.
Yeah, we're straddling the fence.
Well, it becomes a difficult discussion to have because it rather quickly retreats into ethnicity issues and things of religious concepts of and we retreat from it. It's a little bit like a political third rail.
But leadership is never easy, and United States certainly.
Talk ends up being cheap because we have had a number of political leaders who talk about the two-state solution, talk about trying to impose it in some fashion. It's just that when push comes to shove and it comes time to exercise muscle, I'm not sure we're doing that.
Unfortunately, we're not doing it at all. And in fact, we're doing the exact opposite. When we supply Israel with billions and billions of dollars on an annual basis, we give them the best weapons that our military has that is being used against the civilian population. Do I believe that the United States has the power to make a change? Absolutely they do. With the money, with the weapons, with the United Nations, with international bodies, if we wanted to, if we had the will, we would do it. But Earl, what you said I think is important. We don't have leaders. We have politicians. They're looking for the next buck for the next election and trying to appease a different special interest groups. This is part of the problem that we have in this country. We don't have someone who says, look, I'm going to make the hard decisions, even if that means I'm going to maybe lose the next election, but I'm going to do what's best for our country, something that's consistent with our principles as a country. We're not doing that. We are supporting an oppressor. We are supporting an occupier. We are funding them. We're giving them armaments. And this is creating anger and hatred against the United States because people see this. They see all these people being killed with U.S.-made weapons by the Israelis, and they say, how could the United States commit such atrocities? How can they be so complicit in this? And then we turn around and wonder, oh, why do people around the world not like the U.S. government? They actually have a good, positive view oftentimes of the people, but they look at the government as being complicit with these war crimes.
So, Sandy, we're going to bring CJ on. CJ, you got your opportunity. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. And I, the guest, you speak of your family being in from Palestine and still being there. And I feel terrible for you because I think there's a difference between Hamas and the Palestinian people. Hamas, we saw the destruction. They're hiding under hospitals, in schools. And I think them being associated, do you consider Hamas a terrorist organization, sir?
Hamas, in my view, is an organization that grew out of the desperation in the refugee camps of Gaza. It is not a military force. It doesn't have a Navy, Army, Air Force, anything of that sort. These are individuals that are trying to resist the Israeli occupation. Have they used practices that have ended up resulting in the killing of innocent civilians? The answer to that is yes. And I am absolutely against the killing of innocent civilians. But I have to look at what Israel is doing. You say that Hamas is a terrorist group. I consider Israel to be a terrorist military and a terrorist government. When you occupy people for that many years and you go in and you massacre civilians on a regular basis, that is terrorism. And I will not accept that the people who are resisting occupation, who are living under subjugation, are going to be called terrorists. And yet we want to give a free ride to Israel, which is the occupier and the subjugator of millions of people.
Let me just say, okay. I do think one, you could, if you looked at this in a different lens, you could look at the Hamas as partisans. In World War II, there were partisan groups in all of the countries that were being occupied by Germany. And they were not viewed as terrorists. They were viewed as partisans who were fighting the occupier. So it really kind of depends on how you look at the lens. But it is true that the conduct of Hamas, in terms of the attack and the form of the attack, which was aimed at civilians, was horrific.
I disagree. It was aimed at civilians. I think that their initial objective was to go in. They actually attacked the Eretz crossing. They attacked military outposts. You have to also wonder why did the Israeli government put these settlements right on the border of Gaza. Were they using their own people as
shields?
Yeah. Again, we have to look at this, I think, in a much broader perspective. Also, many of the stories that we've heard is that there were a lot of people who started coming in from Gaza when they had this opportunity. And so not all of these people were necessarily Hamas as well. Again, if you want to have a, you want to label anyone who kills innocent civilians as terrorist or brutal or savages, fine. But let's be consistent with it. And let's call what Israel has been doing for 75 years as savage, as brutal, as occupation as well.
Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. Well, this might be a little off topic, but I think that the United States has been annihilating people ever since we landed, the Europeans landed here in the form of Native Americans. And our police government / police department is still killing citizens every day of the week. So who are we to say we're any better of a country? Because we're not. We're creating genocide just about every day of the week here.
Thank you very much for the call. You know, guys, what are we going to do? Are we going to say that for the next century, this is going to continue to go on at some point in time? And that's why I think that our nation plays a pivotal role in this, Sandy, and all of the things that keep us from looking at this through the proper lens, we've got to get beyond, because it's political.
Absolutely.
The reasons that we can't fix it is political.
Yes, and I think the reality is the lens we have to use. And one of the realities is that a problem like this needs to get resolved. And being on the side of failure to resolve it only puts us on the wrong side of history. Okay?
Yeah,
I'm afraid that America, in too many instances, is getting on the wrong side of history. When you look at it, stand back, look at the situation, realize what the inevitabilities are, and are we simply putting our body in the wrong place?
Well, our leadership is weak. And on both sides of it, Democrats and Republicans, who see these things in a representative government, we elect them to address these. Well, it's a difficult thing. We know it's difficult, but you ask to be put in those positions, right?
That's right.
Shouldn't we expect them, Sandy and Utman and Malik, shouldn't we expect them to sit down and work it through? It has to be done. There are people dying, for heaven's sake. There are children and women being slaughtered, and we can't. The people who are supposed to handle these situations are not capable of handling it.
Well, I think that's the reason for Civic Media and for this particular kind of a show, is to get us to open our eyes to realities and to try and help America by looking at realities, getting our politicians to get on the right side of history.
Right.
But like Tom says, we've got to get money out of politics before we can get them to see reality, because right now I think what they see is dialing for dollars.
The one thing I can say that I've seen in, you know, if you want to say there's a silver lining to anything, the number of individuals of Jewish background who have been protesting. In New York, they basically went into Central Station.
Grand
Central, hundreds and hundreds of them. There were hundreds that were actually arrested. These were people who are Jewish, the Jewish Voice for Peace, and Not in Our Name. And you begin to see more and more of people from the Jewish community who are saying, Israel does not speak for us. We do not support what is going on. We do not support the killing of innocent people. We do not support the continued occupation of Palestinian lands and the military occupation. This, I believe, is going to make a big change over time, particularly among young people. You see many, many younger Jews who all their lives, some of them have been taken to Israel and being given the propaganda tours and whatever. And now they're coming back and saying, you know what? That's not the reality.
All right. We're going to continue this conversation on the other side. Hang on, Bill. We'll be right back.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson Monday nights at 7 on the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to. Cry if I want to. Cry if I want to. You would cry too if it happened to me.
All right, welcome back to what I can't believe is the last few minutes of a very informative special show on the Earl Ingram Show. Again, my guest, Othman Atta, who is an Islamic Society of Milwaukee's executive director, and Mr. Malik Otali. I've got to come visit your restaurant in Racine, man. Sandy and I are going to come and do that.
Yeah, you guys are always more than welcome to come through and have a pizza, have a burger, or whatever you
guys
want.
We'll make sure we do that. Let's go to the phone lines and Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Well, first of all, Earl, as Gilbert would say, you're driving a Ferrari with turbo boost. This, what you're doing right now is just over the top. I just can't thank you enough. But here's a question I have, I've wrestled with, and I would like to ask your the people you're speaking with. Did Netanyahu create the perfect storm? I'll hang up and wait for the reply.
You know, within Israeli media, a lot of people are accusing Netanyahu of having tried to divide the Palestinian community by actually allowing Hamas a bit to operate, because he wanted to weaken the Palestinian Authority, because he did not want to make any kind of a peace deal with the Palestinian Authority. This is the discussion that's actually going on in Israeli media. I mean, and people are saying, how does Israel spend billions and billions of dollars on this fence and Gaza and controlling these people and whatever, and how can this actually go on? I mean, Netanyahu has built he has created the most right-wing government in the history of Israeli government. There's actually two of the politicians, one called Smotrich and the other Ben-Gvir, who are actually called by Israeli newspapers as being almost like a Nazi type of individuals. This is being used by Israelis against these two ministers that have been selected by Netanyahu. The problem is that the government in Israel has been going more and more extreme, more and more right-wing, tolerating more and more attacks against Palestinians. And unfortunately, that's not moving things in the right direction. And when the group, the Hamas, when they actually, they call this the Aqsa flood, because they also didn't like the fact that the Israeli government was allowing attacks on a major Muslim shrine, the site, which is Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. And they said, hey, we're going to be doing this to protect that as well. There's, I think, going to be Netanyahu, after this is all over, I think there's going to be, within Israeli society, a lot of reaction to him. But unfortunately, from my perspective, the bigger issue is what's going to happen to the Palestinians.
So, Sandy, how does this end?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I came in with the sort of naive hope that the two-state solution was around the corner, because maybe this situation would be the one that would trigger ultimately stopping kicking the can down the road and doing something. But now that I hear people who are closer to it talking about it, I realize that Americans have trouble wrapping their head around the complexity of this situation there, and that it's going to be very difficult. And And Americans need to, number one, roll up their sleeves, open their eyes, look at this situation. And yes, Pax Americana is not something we can afford to exert all around the world. But we certainly have a great deal of leverage influence with respect to Israel. And we better begin to examine this situation so we can get on the right side of history. Because being on the wrong side of history with these kind of conflicts will get us on the wrong side, not just with Palestinians, but with people who around the world look at the Palestine situation from the lens of the Palestinians. And there are billions. I mean, there's 1.2 billion Muslims in the world, many, many people in non-Muslim countries who are in oppressed countries. Many people around the world are looking at this from a different lens, and we better start looking at it with reality.
Look, I just, because I know we are approaching the end, I really want to thank you, Earl, and Sandy. I do believe that a lot of this is education. As the mainstream media becomes more corporate-owned, and unfortunately, the message is usually very, very one-sided. I think it's very important media outlets like yours over here to be able to provide people with more information. We see this also happening even on social media, Instagram. People are getting more and more sources of information, not just from the corporate media that's owned by oftentimes billionaires and whatever. And so I believe in the end, I believe this is a huge tragedy, what is going on. But I'm hoping that people of conscience and people of goodwill will educate themselves, will begin to understand this, and hopefully we'll be able to elect real leaders that will be able to make a positive change, not just to worry about elections and so forth.
You know, Malik, you're a young guy, man. You got your whole life ahead of you and many other young Palestinians like yourself. What do you see, man? I mean, because it's really your future.
No, absolutely. And, as a Palestinian American, we hope that our generation, we learn from our ancestors and our previous generation, we learn from you guys and hopefully come up with more realistic solutions. And as long as the solutions and there's a desire for justice and peace, and there's hope. And that's why, again, I can't thank you guys enough for having us. And thank you for having Brother Othman to speak as well. Because, you know, that's our goal, is to get as educated as he is and as educated as you guys are, and hopefully further this, the conflict into a solution, to a resolution, so, and that people could, just enjoy their lives.
So, Sandy, I'll give you the last words.
Well, I never give up hope, and I do believe that problems require solutions and ultimately resolve, and my hope is that the American public will stop, the problem with our news media being not only corporate owned, but also understaffed and underfunded. There's very little in the way of explorational journalism ongoing, and they accept press releases. And so we increasingly see press releases coming out of war zones, and we get only propaganda. And so, what we really need to see and hear are realities, and we need to think about this empathetically. American foreign policy has to stop looking at this without looking at things through the lens of everybody involved. Every lawyer who negotiates a transaction knows you have to understand what the other side wants and needs so that you can reach a win-win solution, which is a contract. And we aren't going to reach win-win solutions here without understanding, for instance, the Palestinian situation and the Israeli situation, and pushing them in the direction of resolution.
All right, we got to get out of here. Thank you all for a great week. Thank you, Calvin, for the work you do. And I'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. It's my party. Bye.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
While there are many unexpected factors that can affect the next growing season, Farmers have grown to expect the expected with Rank Seed. Our consistent top-end yields come from strict quality control, trusted technology, and local dealers invested in your success. Rank Seed has been a family-owned and operated business since 1846. More than 175 years later, we still have the highest performing genetics on the market in all environments. Expect the expected with Rank Seed.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.